السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدنيا كل متاع وخير متاع الدنيا المرأة الصالحة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, first of all I want to welcome you for this our family night program in the masjid today. Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were able to organize it, and we really appreciate your presence and those brothers and sisters who made effort to cook the food. May Allah reward them and give a lot of blessings and barakah in their food and in their blessings. The ayat I have recited is very famous ayat, and we always hear it in the time of nikah ceremony, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted, wa min ayatihi, that among the signs of Allah's qudrat and power, an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum, that we have created for you, from you, lakum min anfusikum, azwajan, your pair, your spouse. And what is the reason? Reason is mawaddatan wa rahmah. You can feel tranquility and peace of mind. What is the sign of Allah's qudrat? Sign, ayah, is the Arabic word translated as a sign. And before this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned some great, great signs of His qudrat and power. One is like creation of the heavens, creation of the earth, creation of the mountains, creation of the different languages, etc., etc. So these are the ayah. Ayat means only Almighty Allah, our Creator, can do it. Makhluk has no ability to do it. This is called ayah. This is a special word. For example, the sky. All people, all the world, with all technology and science and power get together, they cannot create the heaven. It's out of their capacity. Likewise, no one is able to create the second land or earth. No one is able to create the mountain. No one is able to create the ocean. No one is able to create the different languages in the tongue, the piece of you know, flesh. The ability to speak inside, we say so many people are, you know, dumb, they cannot speak. They have the tongue just like us, same size. But the ability to speak is not there. Tool is there, right? But the ability to speak is not there. That's why they cannot speak. So likewise, the ayat, which is only the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Allah can do it. No one else, any makhluk, cannot do it. Likewise, this marriage is also, Allah Ta'ala said, is one of my signs. Marriage has been performed in the heaven. And that is why it is said that pairs are made in the heaven. Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned that two things came from the heaven, from the Jannah. One is the Iman, to believe in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, The first mu'min was Hazrat Adam al-Islam, and second was Hazrat Hawa al-Islam. So iman on our creator, on our Malik and Khalik, is from the beginning, from the Jannah, while Hazrat Adam al-Salam was in paradise. He was a believer, he was a mu'min. Hazrat Hawa al-Islam, when she was created as the spouse of Hazrat Adam al-Islam, she was the first believer, mu'mina. So iman came from the Jannah, from the heaven, and it will continue till we die. And even after the death, we will get re-entry into Jannah, into paradise, because of the iman. Jannah is only for those who believe in Allah. Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Whoever will have his last word before he depart from this dunya, is kalma tayyiba on his tongue, kalma shahada on his tongue, then that is a guarantee, that is the key for the Jannah. So iman came from the Jannah, it will go back into the Jannah continuously. Likewise, nikah and marriage also started from the Jannah. First nikah took place between Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam in Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself performed the khutbah in front of the angels. Angels were the witnesses. And Hazrat Adam alayhi salam paid the mahar and dowry in form of the durus sharif upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these all the things which is requirement of the marriage, dowry, witnesses, khutbah, nikah, is already done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and continuously is happening throughout our life until the end of the world. Same scenario or same concept to have the spouses, groom and bride, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself, witnesses, all the angels, dowry paid in the form of durus sharif. All these concepts of nikah is nothing new. It was started from the beginning of the mankind, and it will continue until the end of the world. Likewise, nikah as the iman came from the Jannah, and will go back into the Jannah. Likewise, these pairs, husband and wife, once they become husband and wife, it is eternal. Even when a person will die, everyone will have his own Jannah and paradise separately, gardens and palaces according to his amal and actions and good deeds performing in this dunya, and through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant. Everyone will have stages. Jannatul Firdaus is very high stages with all the Anbiya alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, likewise categorized according to the amal. But everyone will have his own paradise. Only husband and wife will have Jannah also together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted in Surah Al-Yasin, Hum wa azwajuhum fi zilalin ala al-ara'iki muttaki'un. Lahum fiha faqiyatu wa lahum ma yad'un salamun qawlam min rabbir rahim. That they and their spouses will be in the shade, reclining on adorned couches. So there are so many ayat with regard to the Jannah, and is highlighting even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the death, inshallah, will reunite the husband and wife into the Jannah, and they will stay in the same Jannah together. Now there was a joke when an imam was giving the bayan, someone heard it and he got mad. He said, man, in this dunya I am suffering so much, in the same partner I am going to get it over there, then which kind of Jannah is that? So then the imams have explained, don't worry, that your wife will not be the same wife. Allah will change and, you know, modified her heart, her mind, and will make her more beautiful, more attractive, more kind, more loving. And all these problems, complaints, demands, quarreling, fighting will not take place in paradise. Jannah is the place of peace. So don't worry, the item will be same, but it will be remodeled. Allah will upgrade it. You know, Allah will upgrade it. And they say, oh, the minimum person will get 72 hur. That is very famous. People get excited. So there is no comparison of the beauty of the hur. We cannot. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even one hur can spit on the ocean, all the water of the ocean will turn into the sweet. Right now, the water of the ocean is a bitter, right? Salty. But if one spit of the hur will change the taste of the water and will make it sweet. That's how the hur. We cannot imagine right now, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Mala ainun ra'at wala udunun samyat wala khatara ala qalbi bashar. It beyond our imagination. We have no thought or heard or seen this kind of scenarios which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the believers in Jannah. So our wives will be the queen of the all the hurs. She will be more beautiful and attractive than the hurs. Hurs will be under her command. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make her so beautiful and attractive. So don't worry, you won't have any hassle, any problem, any complaint about it in paradise. To that extent, in one of the riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, you look at your wife on one glance, she is more beautiful. And if you turn your eyes and you second time you're going to look, after a few minutes or second, her adherence or her appearance or her beauty will increase. Beauty will increase by second. She will become more beautiful, more attractive, more beautiful, more attractive. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to keep on changing. One dress she will wear, you know, the second minute you will see the different color. Third minute you will see the different color. So minute by minute her dresses will change. Minute by minute her beauty will increase. So inshallah, be patient, just be in this world. And then you will have the better because of your sabr, inshallah. Allah will grant you more. So, what I say, like iman and nikah and marriage is forever. Like iman, when a person is believer, that iman remains in him 24/7. Even he is sleeping, he is believer. Even he is walking, his believer. Even is sitting, his believer. Eating, his believer. So iman does not go out of our heart. It remains there until we die, right? 24/7, no matter what we are doing. Likewise, the relationship of the marriage is 24/7. Like for example, salat, a person will regard it as musalli as long as he prays salat. The moment he finishes salam, assalamu alaikum, is no more musalli. A person who is fasting from morning till evening, he is regarded as a person fasting until the sunset. After sunset, is no more fasting, right? So every ibadat has the limit. After that work is done, is no more regarded in that category. But iman remains forever. It doesn't change. Likewise, nikah will remain forever, whether you are traveling, whether at home. So this is the relationship between the iman and between the nikah. My brothers and sisters, nikah and marriage, it is essential. It is default. It is in our nature. No human being can live without a spouse. It is must necessary. That's why when Adam alayhi salam was created and he was granted the whole paradise, all the beauties and favors and fruits of the paradise, he was feeling loneliness. He needed someone, companion, to share his feelings. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Hawa alayhi salam on her request. So it shows a man cannot stay alone. A woman cannot stay alone. Those people, who monks or pastor or reverends who are not getting married, and they think they are great people, because they sacrifice all the relationship, they don't even see their own mother and sisters. And they hide themselves in the mountain, in the cave or somewhere else, away from the females. This is not the ibadah. It is not allowed in Islam. La rahbaniyata fil Islam. The beauty is, you must stay together and then remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after fulfilling all the duties and responsibilities. You are not animal, you are human being. This is the difference between the animal and human beings. No animal get married. They stay together, they have children, lions and lioness and elephants and all. They have their children, right? But they don't get married. Nowadays, this is Western culture. We want to live, we have to stay in the living relationship and we want to stay together and we will have children, but we won't get married. This is happening today's society. And it's affecting our youngsters too. They don't want to get married. Why? It's responsibility. If something happens, divorce will take place and then she will take 50% of my property and my bank balance and everything. Because of this scaredness, because of the law of this Western culture, there are so many people are suffering. This is not practical. This is not doable. So Islam is emphasizing this. So all the prophets who came in this world, they will all married except Hazrat Yahya al-Salam and Hazrat Isa al-Salam. Even Isa al-Salam will get married when he will descend prior to the Qiyamah. So this is the great sunnah of all the Anbiya al-Salam. That is why our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized an nikahu min sunnati. To get married is my tradition. Waman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Such a great warning. A person who doesn't want to get married, he want to stay alone, think he is not my ummati. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is refusing. Regardless, he is praying salat, fasting, doing hajj and umrah. But if he is not getting married, then is not my ummati. I will not look at him with the eyes of mercy on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. He will be deprived of your Hawza Kawsar. He will not go into Jannah. He is not my ummati. I will refuse, reject him. So it shows how important it is, my brothers and sisters, to get married. Now, successful marriage is based on taqwa, total trust, transparency, and tranquility. We have to have taqwa. That is why in all these three ayat of the khutbah of nikah, there is the word taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. Out of all Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam selected these three ayat for the khutbah of nikah. And in all three ayat is word taqwa. What is the taqwa? God fearing, righteousness, awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, you're not alone. Allah is watching your every action, every word. If you misbehave with your spouse, Allah is going to punish you on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this taqwa is the key for the successful marriage. And trust, we should have trust on each other. And transparency is very, very important. We should not hide anything from the wife. Wife should not hide anything from the husband. That is the healthy and successful marriage. If you're hiding your password, you're not allowing her to check your Facebook and Instagram, it's a big trouble. It means you are not a right person. You are not trustworthy. You are not loyal. So you shouldn't have anything done wrong. So we feel scared to show it or expose it in front of our spouses. There was a person, you know, transparency is very, very important. She's gone, the wife is gone to mother's house. And here the husband is enjoying. Nice time, good time, is spending time with the friends, going to the restaurants. But wife was concerned about the husband. Every day she used to call. Where are you? You all husbands have this experience. Where are you? And we have to pick up the phone and answer. He used to say, I am in the kitchen. Okay, prove it. So he used to put the button on a blender. Blender make noise. Like, look, I'm cooking for myself. You are not here, I have to cook. She used to satisfy. Okay, he is at home. Right? Every day she used to call like that. After few days, she came without notice. Right? And she found the house is closed. Husband is not at home. So she asked the neighbor, she was also her friend, say, where is my husband? So that neighbor woman told her, I don't know, man, but since you left, it is strange. Your husband is living in the morning and is carrying the blender in his hand. And it's coming late night. I'm wondering why he's carrying blender. Maybe one day, maybe he went to fix the blender. But every day he's carrying in the morning and he's coming at night. So whenever the wife used to call, wherever he's enjoying time with his friends and in restaurant all the time, the man used to call, he used to put the blinder, I'm at home. So this is called, you know, cheating. This is not right. So we shouldn't do like that, inshallah. So a successful marriage is based on taqwa, total trust, transparency and tranquility. The meaning of nikah is very, very important, my brothers and sisters. We have to understand what's the problem. There is no classes prior to the nikah. You know, we don't think of it. You know, we're going to enter into the new world. And what is our responsibilities as the husband? What is our responsibility as the wife? No one is teaching them. They are youngsters. We only worried they are marriageable age. Let them get married. This is the concept. We are planning for the wedding for the months. Which cook we're going to hire, which restaurant we're going to book, which hall we're going to book, which kind of clothing, the color of the clothing, everything we discuss, which is not important. What is the important things? How to live your life as a husband, as a wife, we are not teaching to them. Because parents are also unaware of this kind of discipline. What they're going to teach to them? So there is no lesson, there is no information with regard to the marital life. They are blind. They don't know what to do. And as things comes after the honeymoon period over, then things start, you know, the problems start. The nikah is Arabic word. Nikah is the Arabic word. Linguistically, the meaning of the nikah is combination of two things. Combination of two things. In such a way that it becomes one. Two body, one soul. For example, sleep and eye. Right? Sleep is different thing, material, and eye is different thing. But when person is sleeping, the sleep enters into the eyes and it becomes one. Sleeping person and eye becomes one single item. No one can differentiate. Oh, this is sleep, this is eye. They becomes one. Or for example, rain fall, rain drops. Right? Water is different coming from the sky, right? From the cloud. And sand is the different thing, right? But when the rain drops come onto the sand, drops onto the sand, it becomes one. Rain drops and sand becomes one. And it becomes mud or clay, whatever you name it. But you cannot differentiate now water from the sand. It's a mixture. After getting mixed, there is no separation between them. You cannot separate. It becomes a third item. You can say clay or mud, but you cannot separate the water and the sand. Likewise, the nikah, meaning when the husband and wife get together and say nakatua, kabiltua, I do and I accept, after that they should become like a one thing, one item. By marriage, two different individuals become one pair. Nikah is a very sacred and delicate relationship. That is why all other relationships remain forever, like parents and children. Parents and children will remain all the time. Regardless, sometimes they don't speak to each other, they cut off their relationship, they don't pick up the phone, they don't, you know, participate in janaza, in nikah, etc. But still they will be called, or his son of so-and-so, his father of so-and-so. This relationship will never break. It's not terminated. The relation between the siblings, brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters, will never end. It will remain, regardless they are staying together, talking to each other. No, that is a different story, but it will not separate it. But nikah and marriage is the only thing can separate very easily, very quickly, just by uttering word talaq by the husband. It can break any time. Very fragile. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed almost 21 verses in the Holy Quran to express and explain the importance of the relationship between the husband and wife. 21 verses of the Holy Quran in different surah. Suratul Nisa started from Suratul Baqarah, Suratul Nisa, Maida, Suratul Nur, Suratul Qasas, Mumtahina, and Suratul Talaq. So many surahs has been highlighting the important relationship between husband and wife. Our beloved Rasulullah got married 11 times. It's not for sexual desire, my brothers. It was to practically explain to the Ummah the importance of the nikah, how to deal with every kind of woman. Woman nature are totally different. There was a book written by one psychologist that woman is from Venus and man is from Mars. The title of the book, Woman is for Venus and the man is from Mars. What is trying to say, the author? That looks like they are from two different planets. So their likes, their dislikes will be totally different. Their mindset will be totally different. Now you got married, two strange people come together. Now you have to understand each other. And you have to make sure that from my side, it should not be harmful to her, and she must understand that I should not trouble to my husband. So our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married 11 times to explain the marital life. He got married to his own tribe. And this is the great sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why our parents, our elders are emphasizing on this point that first priority should be given to our khandan, our tribe, our kufu, our family. Look around in your family. If someone is suitable partner, then that is the first priority. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the nikah in Quraysh, in Hashimi family, in tribe, with Hadrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, with Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, with Hadrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha, and with Hadrat Ummi Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, and Hadrat Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha. These were amongst the Quraysh tribe, respectful tribe of the Makkah. And then, so that is first priority. But sometimes circumstances happens. You know, love is blind and marriage is eye-opener, right? So sometimes we get connected on internet. Today is happening, you know, we all know about our youngsters. So you got love with someone out of tribe. For example, you got affected by Arab or by Fijian, by Pakistani, any other than his own tribe. So that is also, don't disregard or don't get angry, tolerate it. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the nikah with another lady out of the Banu Hashim, out of the Quraysh tribe, Hazrat Maimuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Jawariya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And to that extent, his one nikah was performed with the Jewish lady. Hadrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha was not Quraysh. She was not from Muslim tribe. She embraced Islam and she was the daughter of Huyay, who was a very well-known person, Jewish person, wealthy person. His daughter was Hadrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Rasulullah sallam performed nikah with the Jewish lady to show, if your son or daughter want to go to out of tribe, don't feel bad. This is also sunnah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To that extent, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the nikah with the slave girl, Hadrat Maria Qibtiya. She was from Egypt, Egyptian, and she was a slave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set her free and then performed nikah with her. And she also had one daughter, one son, with the name of Hadrat Ibrahim. And he passed away at the age of 18 months. So he was from Hadrat Maria Qibtiya. She was from Egypt, outsider, totally outsider. Different language. She was not speaking Arabic. She is speaking Egyptian language. Rasulullah gives example to set this example. If by chance you have to perform the nikah out of tribe, your son or daughter, don't get mad. and you must tolerate and accept it too. This is also sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a different dimension now. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to an older woman, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was 15 years older than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you find your partner is older than you, it is suitable, it is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Then Rasulullah sallam got married to the younger than him, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, very young, and he was 50 years old. So if your spouse or your partner is younger than you, then how to deal with that? That is also sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another dimension, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to a very rich woman, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, very successful business woman of the Makkah. She used to do the import and export in today's time. Her caravan used to go Basra, in Syria, and where and where. Very successful lady, woman, business woman of Makkah. Very rich, right? And at the time, Rasulullah SAW was very poor. He had nothing. He was living with his uncle, Hazrat Abu Talib. So this is one example. If your wife is richer than you, no problem. Get married and deal with it, like Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Another example, a poor lady, Hadrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, was very poor. Rasulullah SAW performed nikah with her. Rasulullah SAW, another dimension now, Rasulullah SAW performed the nikah with the widow, Hadrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hadrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he performed the nikah with the bachelor, maiden, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So if your partner is widow, is also sunnah. Because Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala performed two nikah prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she had the children from the previous husbands. So if you get your partner like this, circumstances. So that is also example you can find in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And most of the time, Rasulullah also used to encourage the youngsters, young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, to perform the nikah with the maiden, with the bachelor. That is best one. But if you get for some reason, it's also acceptable. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the nikah with the divorcee. This is also sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our society, it becomes trade that if a person, especially for the woman folk, it's very hard, very difficult. If she gets divorced, then there is no one to take her. She rest of the life, she remain like that alone. No one is taking care of her. But this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the nikah with Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha, while she was divorced from the previous husband. Hazrat Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was a first cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zainab bint Jahash was Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed her nikah with Hazrat Zaid, but they were not getting together. They had quarrel and fighting, and she didn't like him because of the skin, because he was a slave, black Abyssinian, and she was very pretty. So they did not get. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the nikah of them, it was not successful. Within 1 year, it was broken. It was divorced. Then, when the iddat was over, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the proposal, and he performed the nikah with Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab. This is only one name, Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala, has been mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab. Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala was divorced before. He was the daughter of Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala. Later on, he embraced Islam after Fatul Makkah. So these are the some example and variety of the spouses, and we can get through with all these kind of different problems. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the nikah with very humble, polite and devoted woman like Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. After performing nikah, she devoted everything to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was very wealthy and rich woman, as I said. Every penny and all the wealth and properties she is given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From today onwards, Ya Rasulullah, this is yours. And at the time, he was not of Rasulullah. He was that Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Right? All 15 years, he was not Nabi. He was ordinary man of Makkah. But as a husband, she said, from today onwards, my wealth is your wealth, my property is your property, my house is your house. So she was so devoted to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you find this kind of spouse who is very rich, get the house and cars and business also, and after nikah, she comes to you in first night and say, oh, my car is your car, my house is your house, just accept. You are lucky man. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam nikah with Hazrat Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha also, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had performed the nikah with the different categories of the women, how to deal with them. So this is the some example. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how, my brothers and sisters, how to deal as a husband and wife. This is the example, perfect example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am just speaking about marital aspect of the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam according to the topic of today's night. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to praise Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, because I said she was very young. She had no experience whatever. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the demise of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, and this is also one of the sunnah I have to highlight. First nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. And as I said, the difference was 15 years gap between the age. All children of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were born from first wife Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. Two sons, Hazrat Qasim and Abdullah, and four daughters, Hazrat Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulsum, and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. All six children were from one woman, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And up till the age of 50, from 25 years to all the way to 50 years, all these 25 solid years, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not look at to any other woman of Makkah. You could get married. There was a very common practice in the Arab tribes. They used to get married. Up till now, the Arabs have 2, 3, 4 wives. Up till now, that was the common. No one minded, right? But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stick honestly to only single wife with Hazrat Khadija radhiyallahu ta'ala anha until she passed away. So 99% of the husbands practicing on this great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are you not happy? You didn't think like that, huh? You want to get married second time, huh? But this is the great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam too. That he was stick to one wife at a time, right? You can have one wife at a time. And all this year, until she did not pass away, Rasulullah did not look at to other woman. After his demise, yes, he performed nikah with Hazrat Sauda, with Aisha, and all other Ummahatul Mu'mineen. So this is one of the great sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just to make you feel happy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always used to praise their wife, especially Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He used to call her with the nickname. So this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to give our wives nickname. Don't give her the first name. She is well known with the first name. But out of love, you should give her the nickname. Call her with the nickname. She will like it. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to call Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha Aish, short form of Aisha, or used to call her Humaira. Reddish, Kumaira. That was the nickname of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. He said, O Aish, since Allah ta'ala has informed me that you will be my partner in Jannah, it became easy for me to die. See, encouraging, praising Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, oh, it is very hard for me to die. But since I heard that Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised me, in Jannah, you will be my partner. So now it become easy for me to die, because you're going to meet me again one day. Just to encourage Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say. One day, Hazrat Abdullah, one of the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anha, asked him, Ya Rasulullah, who is most beloved to you? Immediately he said, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And in the society, in the Arab society of Makkah, it was very hard, unusual to praise the wife in front of the people. Arab never used to do this. They used to write the ashar and poetry for their beloved, you know, but not for the wife. All the shuara used to write the ashar for their lovers, but not for the wife, right? So it used to be like, it's very hard to speak about wife in front of the people. Rasulullah ﷺ broke this tradition. And he prays openly in front of the people. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, I loved her the most. Then Hazrat Abdullah changed the question and he said, who do you like amongst the men? Rasulullah ﷺ again replied, the father of Aisha. He never said Abu Bakr. He could say Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha. But again, he repeated the name of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. I love Aisha's father. And my brothers and sisters, this one phrase gives us lots of information and ta'lim how we should deal with our in-laws. Today's dilemma in our Muslim society, my brothers, is in-laws. Too much interference. Anything happens, she pick up the phone and talk to the mom. Right? And then she involves. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is respecting father-in-law and saying, I loved my father-in-law the most. So this is also one thing we should learn, and we should not speak bad about in-laws in front of our wives. Why? Because she will feel hurt. There are her parents, her brothers, her sisters, siblings. And speaking ill and bad about them, she won't like it. She may not speak out of your fear. But inside the heart, she's going to hate you. How you can, you know, disrespect and insult her in her relatives in front of her? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to praise in-laws in front of the wife. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to help her in the household. She was very, very young. She used to, Rasulullah used to sweep, clean the utensil, fix the his slipper, milk the goat, make a dough for her. She didn't know how to make a dough. Rasulullah used to make the dough and then she used to cook the bread. That much of help Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do with her wife. Sometimes Rasulullah used to tell the stories, because young people, they like stories, bedtime stories. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a husband, used to tell story to entertain Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala as a young wife. Sleep. And this is very great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that most of the time our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sleep in her lap. Now I'm 100% sure none of us so far performed this sunnah at home. How many of husbands sleeping on the lap of the wife? We don't understand. We don't know this. This is a romantic mood. When you sleep on the lap of your wife, your hearts are very close to her heart. And she appreciates it. This gesture, she appreciates, look, my husband loving me so much, he's sleeping on my lap. And if you sleep, then if a wife is not understandable, she says, oh, you're acting like a baby on my lap, my baby sleeps. Not you, you are such a big boy. Come on, get away. So this is both side of these things. That don't, for you, I mean, the wife is your very close relatives, no? So sometimes, just for the sake of sunnah, we should practice on this great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to put the morsel in the mouth of Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha. This is also great sunnah. We don't do this. She is eating from her plate, we are eating from our plate. Sometimes make one morsel and put in her mouth will be like wide open. Like a cave, what happened to my husband today? She will surprise. Sometimes you have to surprise her. So this is great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to show and express his love for Hazrat Aisha. She is drinking milk or water, whatever in the cup, in the jug, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, okay, stop, and show me from which side you put your lip. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to put his mubarak lip from the same place where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to drink, just to make her feel happy and appreciate this gesture. So sometimes we should do this. We think, oh, it's very hygiene. How I can drink her leftover? is not hygiene, my brothers. It's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has placed her lips. Okay. Sometimes she used to say, as a young woman, that Abyssinian youngsters used to practice and rehearsal inside the masjid about the war with the spear and the sword inside the Masjid Nabawi. So the Aisha used to be excited. Ya Rasulullah, I want to see. But there was a parda ayat was revealed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand on the door, used to cover the door, and she used to be behind her, him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and used to put her chin on the Mubarak shoulder of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and used to look and enjoy the game, whatever, they used to play inside. And other Rasulullah, after a while, used to ask, are you satisfied? Can we go now? I got something to do. He said, no, hold on. Like our boys, and when they play the soccer, they don't want to leave it. Like, no, hold on, few minutes more. Then Rasulullah standing again. Then ask, are you satisfied now? He said, no, Rasulullah, I'm interesting more. So until she will satisfy, Rasulullah says to stand like this and let her watch the drama. This is the great understanding between the husband and wife. Sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to race with her. Now how many of us, we are going to retreat, we are going to resorts, we are going out of our town, right? How many of us are racing with our wives? We didn't practice this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, one day when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raced with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was young, so she ran out of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and purposely Rasulullah stay behind, let her win. So she was very excited and said, look, I win. I beat you. You cannot beat me. And she became very happy that I beat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my husband, today. Next time, after a few years, she became little heavy. So now Rasulullah said, okay, let's race again. So this time, second time, Rasulullah came out and beat her. And now saying, see, that day you beat me, now today I beat you. So now he's tilka ba tilka, now he's all equal. So this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to entertain our beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and used to sometimes crack the joke with her. We should not be sour faces all the time. Sometimes we should be relaxing mood, and we should express our love with our wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was most romantic and ideal husband. He was comforting for his wives, wiping their tears, respecting their emotions, hearing their words, caring for their complaints, elevating their sadness, bearing their abandonment, discussing matters with them, keeping their dignity, supporting them in the emergencies, declaring his love to them, giving gifts to them. And they should be born with one other. This should be born between husband and wife, psychologically, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. That's how we should be united with each other. Rasulullah sometimes used to say, oh, I know when you are mad with me and when you are happy with me. That's how he used to observe the emotions of the wife. We have to understand. We should have observance which thing make her mad or which thing make her happy. So Hazrat Aisha asked, how do you know that? Rasulullah said, when you are happy with me, in good mood, you say, Bi Rabbi Muhammad. I taking an oath with the name of Muhammad's God, Muhammad's Rabb. And when you are mad with me, upset with me, you say, Bi Rabbi Ibrahim. I'm taking an oath with the name of God of Ibrahim. You don't mention my name. That's why I understand today something is wrong. So if you go inside the house and you find something is not, utensil is making noise, you should know something is not right in the house. So try to figure it out, what is problem there. We have to understand what is their feelings. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do in this regard. My brothers and sisters, spouse are, each other's garment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, beautiful ayah, very deep in meaning. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. They are your garments and you are their garments. Now it shows the closeness of the body and garment. You know, the body is so close with the garment. Likewise, husband and wife should be together in this regard. It shows the closeness just like a body and dress. No one tears his own clothes no matter how angry he is. When a person becomes angry, he is not tearing his own clothes. Right? Maybe he is tearing someone else's clothes. So no matter how much you are angry, you should not harm or hit your wife out of anger. Another benefit of the garment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, the ayat of the Quran and elaborate it, that garment cares of the body. It takes care of the body, protects him from the weather, heat, cold and rain. You have different kind of clothing for different season, beautifies him and makes him presentable in front of the people, conceals his faults, covers his naked body. So husband and wife also should be covering to each other, comforting to each other, you know, taking care of each other. This is how we should live, like a body and the clothes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, always used to take care of his wife. Anger, my brothers, I have mentioned before also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us two brain. One is right side, one is left side. The brain from the right side is collecting all the information. Whatever you are looking, whatever you are hearing, this is information going to the right side brain. But it doesn't have ability to make a decision. What it does is transfer all the information to the left side. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this left side brain more powerful. So according to information, you know, the left side brain decides. And the information to transfer from right side to the left side is only takes 35 seconds. 35 seconds. If a person is angry, if he controls his emotion just for 35 seconds, he can protect himself from a lot of damages. And that is why our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you are angry, go and make wuzu. If you are angry, leave that place. Go out of the house for a while. If you are angry, you are standing, sit down. If you are sitting, lie down. Why Rasulullah said this one? Because the changing the position, it will take at least 35 seconds. And by 35 seconds, your emotion will subside. One, my brothers, is reaction and one is respond. Reaction and respond is two different things. Reaction is immediate, without thinking, without plan. Respond after pausing, giving some time, thinking and pondering, analyzing what is right, what is wrong, and then making decision, that is called respond. So respond is a wise action and reaction is not good, it's very harmful. We should not react immediately, we should write, you know, as a human being, we're going to get angry. So as a result, we're going to say something and then it will create a fire. Remember, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, the anger is made out of fire and it is from shaitan. Shaitan, devil, iblis is made out of fire. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارِ وَخَلَقْتُ مِنْ تِينَ. That was his argument and logic, that you have created me from the fire. And the fire is always goes up. That's why angry person, his face become reddish. All blood circulation comes up. Because of the circulation of blood, you know, is activated when a person in the state of anger. So how to cool down? One thing is water. Because water is extinguished the fire. That's why Rasulullah said, perform the wuzu. Wuzu will make you cool down. Or change your position. It will take the time, and that time period, 35 seconds, will help you to change your mind and react wisely, not reluctantly. And shaitan loves this. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the shaitan becomes very happy when his disciple, his followers, you know, inform him that, today I make separation between the husband and wife. This is the only act most loved by the shaitan. He becomes very happy. And this is the worst thing in Sharia allowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worst thing allowed in Sharia is to give divorce in talaq. Why? Because when a person is giving talaq, when the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shakes, it is so much of power. The arsh of Allah shakes when a person gives a talaq. When a person kills someone, arsh is not shaking. When a person raping or doing a lot of things, the arsh is not shaking. Only arsh shakes when a person gives a talaq. That's why we have to be very, very careful that we should not, do anything. One more thing, my brothers and sisters, husband and wife should be helper and supportive to each other. Look at the example of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She devoted herself to the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even prior to the Nubuwwat, at the age of 35 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go all the way to Mount Nur and used to climb on top of the cave of Hira and used to meditate over there for months and weeks. Here, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, old woman, 50 years old, mother of 6 children, and she is fragile also. She used to cook the food, used to carry the food and water for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to climb every week and used to provide the food and water to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and cave of Hira. A person who goes for Hajj and Umrah, we just look at to the Mount Nur and we are not able to climb there. Although we are healthy, we are young, but it's so high. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala used to climb every week, taking the food and water for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Wahi revelation came to Cave of Hira, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very scared when he saw Hazrat Jibreel Islam, and he came running to the house and he said, "Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me with the blanket." And here he informed the first wife, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed the first person, his own wife. It shows all secrets or all problems should be shared with our wives. She is more confident and supportive for us emotionally and physically in every way. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became scared and he said, "I'm going to die. I'm going to kill myself." That time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was comforted by none other than his own wife, Hadrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She embraced Islam first on the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without doubt, without question. "You proclaiming you are Nabi of Allah, I believe you, 100%. Because you never spoke the word of lie in your entire life. I know you. I know your akhlaq." Then she expressed and reminded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kalla, wallahi, la yukzik Allahu abadan, innakum latasilur rahim, wa tahmilul kal, wa taksibul ma'dum, wa taqri'u dhaif, wa tu'inu ala nawa'ib al-haq." All good actions and characters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I swear to Allah." Look at the powerful word of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha as a wife to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was suffering. He was depressed. He was full of anxiety and worried at that time. These few words of the Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, his wife, comforted him and made him calm. He said, I swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will never disgrace you. Why? Because you join the ties of the relationship. You bear people's burdens. You give to the destitute. You entertain the guests and you help against the wishes of which affect the people's rights. These are the good work you are doing. How Allah can destroy you? Be calm. And then she took him to her cousin, Hazrat Warqa bin Nawfal, and he explained more about the Nubuwwat and Prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when a husband loses the job or facing some financial crisis or something happens, you know, when he comes home, then this is the duty of the wife to comfort and make him ease. My brother, there are so many things, only few words is left now. The final words. For successful marriage, there are 5 ingredients we have to keep in mind. Number 1, good communication. Between husband and wife, his asset should be transferee, should be the trust, that anything they can discuss amongst themselves. Whatever problems happen from the wife side or the husband side, they should sit down and they should talk to each other. If third person is involved, regardless is mother-in-law or father-in-law or sister-in-law, whoever, it means your relationship as the husband and wife is not strong. You are not enough wise to solve your own problem. You need third person's assistance and help. This is the weakness of the wife or weakness of the husband when he asks someone else to conceal or counsel or sort their problems. We should have that much of good relationship with each other that whatever is happening, there is a space, there is a time to discuss amongst ourselves. Third person should not know what's going on in our marital life. Even our parents, they are third now. This is only between husband and wife. This much of a mutual understanding and closeness and trust we should have. So first thing, my brothers, is good communication. At the time she is mad or he is upset, don't talk at that time. Give some time. After 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, then sit down and then start discussing. Maybe you said like that, I misunderstood, please explain me. Or you can say, you misunderstood me, my thought was this way, whatever. So this is the first ingredient for successful marriage, that good communication. The second thing, my brothers, very important, is compromising and overlook. Look, no one is perfect in this world. Everyone is with the fault, with shortcoming. When we buy the house, we buy a whole as it is. And when something goes wrong, electricity not working, plumb, you know, our toilet got blocked, you're not going to complain to the agent, which kind of house you give me? Look, my toilet is blocked. Now you become plumber. Now you become electrician. Now you have to sort out the small issues and problem of your house. You're not going to cancel your package just because of your toilet is blocked or sink is not working or this. This is the life. It's going to have ups and downs. It's going to have, you know, good and bad in our lives. So compromise and overlook. The third point is support to each other. As I said, whatever condition we're going, thick and thin, good or bad, we have to have the support of each other and mutual support from the heart. Not verbally, but from the bottom of the heart. Number four, sabr and patience. If you have sabr and patience, your life will be successful. As I said, things will happen in the life, nothing is perfect, ups and downs will happen. But if you have patience at the time and you express your patience, then inshallah, Allah will solve the problem. And fifth one, my brothers, everything do from the heart, not from the mind. This is the difference between mind and heart. Mind is always calculated. What is the loss? What is the benefit? What will happen? What will not happen? Heart doesn't calculate. Heart just gives. So you, every problem, if anything happens, you must do from the heart. Heart can compromise. Heart can even lose for the sake of your beloved. So don't every time use your mind, but rather use your heart. And sometimes we have to sacrifice our emotion also. My brothers, the last word. Happy wife, happy life. Happy wife, happy life. Happy spouse, happy house. So be good husband, be good wife, and make each other happy. In every circumstances, in every situation. May Allah give us tawfiq to whatever we have here to implement in our daily lives. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم انك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اغفر لي جميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات
الاحياء منهم والاموات برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الامور كلها واجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الاخره ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا ارحم. The couple of jokes. A successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. A successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. And successful woman is the one who can find this kind of man. To be happy with a man, a woman must understand him a lot and love him little. If he's going to love him more, he's not going to go to the job. He will sit on the couch all the time. Love him little, but try to understand what he likes, what he doesn't like. To be happy with a woman, a man must love her a lot and don't try to understand. Don't try to understand. That's why it is said that if you get angry, if in front of you is a young boy, count for 10 and then you react. If he's your age, then count for 30 and react. And if he's older than you, then count for 50 and then react. But opposite side is your wife, then keep on counting and don't react. The time for Azan, inshallah. I got more jokes, but there is